Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The Valdosta Church of Christ is located at 1119 Old Lee Highway, Tuscumbia, Alabama, 35674. We can be reached by phone at 256-381-0331. Anytime you are in the Tuscumbia area or Shoals area, we would love to have you join us for worship or Bible study. We have Bible class every Sunday at 9:30. Our worship service follows at 10:30. Evening services are at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesday nights at 7. Now, we hope you enjoy this lesson from God's Word.
Fiddling just a moment ago, I was originally planning on using the lapel mic, or the over-the-ear one. And that, I don't know how Adam does it with glasses, but it was not working for me. So I have to give him credit for that. This morning, my last Sunday here for who knows when, I'll be back eventually, but my last sermon for a while is going to be studying the different walks of the Christian life. One of the things that stuck with me the most since I was a teenager is JP. A bunch of sayings that he has said, a bunch of thoughts that he shared, and one of which we're going to think about today. He said a long time ago, it was probably on one of our van rides, the Christian walk, or the Christian life, is like swimming against the current. You do all right while you're working at it and while you're trying to keep doing it, but when you stop, you start going backwards. That's kind of the same idea as running a race. When you run a race, you run. You try and finish first. When you stop running, you fall back. When you eventually just stand still, you lose, inevitably. You can get right to the finish line and stop running, and you don't win. You never even finish. And that is a way that people look at the Christian life. And so tonight, or this morning, if I can get my time straight, we'll be studying a few different ideas of the Christian walk. But first, we must understand where we are to walk. In 1 John chapter 1, the short book of 1 John, John writes these words. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, he says, starting in verse 6 actually, "If we say that we have no fellowship with him, that being God, and walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sins." Now, as Christians, when we have our Christian walk, when we enter into it through baptism, we then must follow God and follow the instructions of Christ. In fact, that will be our next point, is who we're to follow. But yet, we must continue to walk in the light. Because there are multiple paths, as Christ himself said in Matthew. There are two paths. There's the broad way and the narrow. The broad way will have many people following there. But that path leads to destruction. It's the easy path. Whereas when we think about the way that leads to heaven, it's considered the narrow path, the difficult, the straight way. That's the path that John says we must follow. We must follow after that path so that we can follow after God, so that we can be called the children of God, so that we can be washed and cleansed from our sins. But yet, let's think about the next thing. Who are we to follow? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, the Apostle Paul states, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am a follower of Christ." This is an important passage because the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Corinth. This would be his second letter to the Corinthians, but the first one that we have. He was constantly fighting and speaking against all the controversies in the church. They were fighting about who baptized them. In fact, in the first chapter, it says that he had received word that they were arguing about, well, I was a follower of Paul, or I was baptized by Paul. Well, I was baptized by Apollos. Well, I was baptized by Cephas. They were constantly causing divisions amongst themselves because who baptized them? Then we find out in chapters 12, 13, and 14 that they were arguing and dividing themselves because of the spiritual gifts that they were given. These were people that were constantly fighting and constantly arguing. But yet the Apostle Paul was saying, don't be like that. Don't follow after your own ideas. Don't follow after the idea of Corinth, which was ultimately the Las Vegas of their time. Don't be those people that say, well, I'm better than you because I was baptized by Paul and I have the gift of speaking in tongues. Don't say that I'm better than you because we're all Christians. He was saying, be ye followers of me as I'm a follower of Christ. And then the thought continues in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 comes right off of the great chapter of faith. One that it's amazing to study about. You study about men and women throughout the Old Testament, their deeds that they had done, and how great a faith that was shown. You study about everyone from Abraham through the prophets, or rather Adam through the prophets. And then it follows up by saying this in chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, those being the people that were previously mentioned in chapter 11, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that which doth so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us. We'll stop there for just a moment, but right before the point that I want to make. But I want to say this. One way that we are supposed to be walking and running as a Christian is we have to lay aside the weight of the sin that is so common and so loved by us. Everyone has that pet sin in the back of their mind that says, I will give up everything, but yet it's so hard to give up this one thing. Ultimately, it's like running a race with a 100-pound backpack. If you've ever tried to run with a 100-pound backpack, it's not easy. It's not fun, and I would not advise it, especially going uphill. That was a very ill-advised idea on my part, and I'm never doing it again. But that is a good physical reminder of what this verse is saying. If we're trying to run our spiritual race with something that's weighing us down, something that's hindering us from reaching our goal, then why are we doing it? We need to be casting off that weight and running easier. Because you can be a marathon runner. And if you're just running by yourself with no weight, it's easy. But if you put a car behind you and say, all right, pull this car and run a marathon, at the same time that you usually run yours, it's going to be more difficult. In fact, pretty much impossible. But that's what the Hebrews writer is saying at this point. But he picks back up in verse 2 and says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down on the right hand on the throne of God. For consider him that endured such great contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The same one that came to this earth knowing what he had to endure. The same one that said in John chapter 3 and verse 14, even as Moses raised up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of God be lifted up. Knowing that his purpose for earth was to die. You look through all the different endings of the Gospels. And they all end with Christ's crucifixion. One of the most agonizing things, even to read. I won't go into too much detail, but the crucifixion was probably, just studying it from a medical standpoint, one of the most gruesome and painful ways to die. Ultimately, every joint in his body will have been separated from hanging there. Lungs collapsed, and ultimately his ribcage penetrating his lungs. Not something that anyone would ever wish to endure. But yet he did this all for us. He lived the perfect, sinless life on earth, not only to give us an example on how we ought to walk, but yet also so that we may be children of God. So we're to walk in the right ways. We're to walk as John said, in the light. We're supposed to follow after Christ. We're supposed to follow after the examples of the apostles. We're supposed to follow after all these great men and women of the faith that has gone on before us. We're given such great opportunity to say, this is how we're supposed to run our race. This is how we're supposed to walk our Christian life. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, when he had reached the end of his life, when he had finally been in prison for so long, when he knew his time was going to end soon, he writes to his son of the faith, Timothy, and says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. For this cause there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give unto me on that day, but not unto me only, but unto all them that love his appearing and his kingdom. Paul's saying, I have finished running my race. I can see the finish line. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel, but yet I still have to reach it. I have to reach it to receive this crown of glory, this crown of righteousness that's given to me. That is something amazingly exciting to think about. Because this great apostle, this one that wrote over half of the New Testament, will be given the same crown that we're given if we are found faithful to heaven. Now, we must also think, if we're supposed to walk, and there's a right way and there's a wrong way, well, where are we not supposed to walk? The psalmist David wrote these words in the very first psalm. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. When you think about Psalms, it's easy to think about this verse because it's, well, granted it's the first verse, but also it's so impactful to the thought of Psalms. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whithersoever he doeth shall prosper. We're not supposed to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We have several great examples of that in the Bible. King Solomon was the wisest man ever, but yet he decided to follow after his own devices. He decided to follow after his own will rather than the will of God, and that led him to writing Ecclesiastes. We've been reading that for the past, well, since Wednesday night in our scripture readings. And he opens up the book by saying, vanity of vanities, all things are vanity. All these things that he has gotten into was pointless. Because that's what the word vanity there means. He's just saying pointless, pointless. All these physical things that I've gone after was pointless. And yet, his own son, the one that was supposed to take up the kingdom after him, he was given the opportunity to either listen to the counsel of his fathers or listen to his friends and do whatever he wanted. And you see him listening to his friends and listening to the younger men, and ultimately it divided the kingdom. It then went to Israel and Judah being separated. But yet you eventually see the progression from Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You're occasionally walking past something every day. And then one day he stops to look at it. It says, he standeth in the way of sinners. He's walking there and then eventually he just stops. Sits there and takes it in for just a few minutes. And then next thing you know, he's sitting down in the place where he didn't want to be. This is not the way we as Christians should be. We should not be seeking after those things that will take us away from God. In fact, going back to John chapter 1, rather, it talks about how we are to walk in the light. And if we walk in the darkness and say that we're gods, we're liars. We're not supposed to be even walking in the darkness or in the shadows even. Because that's when we eventually start walking and then we stand. And then before we realize it, we're sitting in sin, wallowing in the filth and the mire. But ultimately, how are we supposed to walk? With what mindset are we supposed to be walking? And to answer that question, we have to go back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, at the end of the chapter, is where we'll stay for the rest of this morning. It's still morning time. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, back talking to these evil, divisive, corrupt people. The Apostle Paul says this, Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery are temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but not to incorruptible. Therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Paul's saying, I don't run this Christian race just for fun. I'm not shadow boxing over here, finding nothing. I'm not running this race just to run and get something, some praise. But rather, I'm running to a goal. He is running that race that those heroes of the faith had run before him. But yet, what I didn't mention in Hebrews chapter 12, those in chapter 11 were running by faith. They hadn't truly seen why they were running. They just obeyed God to run. I'm being told to stand still, so I guess I better stop my nerves for a second. In Hebrews chapter 11, those men and women truly did have faith. And they knew through prophecies and through things that God had told them that they were supposed to obey God. They were supposed to do these things that they were told to do. But yet in Hebrews chapter 12, it says they had not seen the true prize. They were just running endlessly, following God. But now we have what we need. We have had the Son of God come to earth and die for us. We have had that goal, that pace setter. Because in a race, truly, what is it that we have to have? Every race has a pace setter. Usually someone in the front, and then when those fast people or the athletic people get way too far out the way, you have progressively slower pace setters. It's just kind of how running races works. Now, I should preface this by saying I'm not a runner by any means. I'm short, slow, and asthmatic, so it's not a good idea for me to run very fast or far or at all. But anyway, we have that pace setter, that one that we're supposed to follow and look to and try and reach. So today, the reason I preach this lesson is to kind of give us a thought, why are we running this Christian race? Why are we walking the Christian walk? And how can we better our walk and our lives? Well, first of all, keep the same path. As, like I mentioned before, Christ says it is a difficult path. Straight is the way, and it's not talking about arrow straight. Straight in that context is difficult. You can ask any one of these older members. The Christian walk is not the easiest walk ever. You constantly have to overcome things. You constantly have to deny self and put God first. There are tons of things that even young Christians want to do, but we know that we shouldn't do it because it's wrong. It's a difficult thing to do as a Christian, but we're supposed to continually walk in the light. A lot of you know that I've been working with heating and air with Hunter, and it's difficult to continue walking in the light when everyone around you is in the pitch black abyss of the darkness. Like, they aren't even in the somewhat light area. They willingly walk deeper into the darkness because they want to have fun. It's difficult being in those situations to continue being the light. But yet that's the time when we as Christians ought to let our light shine and run after them. Not into the darkness to have our lifestyle changed, but rather to teach them. Because those are the times, those are the people that truly, truly need the gospel. Each one of us every day have the chance to speak to someone about the gospel. To start their Christian walk. To start even walking towards God. Walking towards the light. So how are we walking? How are we living? I was talking to the young adult class this morning, and we were studying in the book of James. One thing that I asked them to do, hopefully they'll do it, maybe they'll do it, is to read a chapter of James every day. James is the book of practical wisdom. It's effectively the Proverbs of the New Testament. You can read that and apply it to your life, and it makes the Christian walk easier because it was written to do just that. It was written to give you the basic wisdom on earth. It's 5 chapters. No chapter is over 25 or 30 verses. It would take you 5 minutes every day. Not that hard. But yet, it's something that you can constantly apply to your life. The Christian walk is one that is long for most people. Short for some, but long. I've known people that were Christians for 75 years before they passed away. I've known people that were Christians for 2 weeks before they passed away. But those people still had to go through the same struggles, no matter how long they were Christians. They had to walk the same race, follow the same footsteps as each other. Now, the more we think about the Christian walks, the more we have to realize, and the more we do realize, it's not something that we can just kind of walk every few feet and stop. Like JP told me when I was 13, maybe? 14? Wow, I've known JP a long time. Anyway, mostly good. But the more we put an effort into the Christian life, the better we will be at it. You can't just swim 5 feet and then stop and let yourself drift back and then swim 5 feet more to get back to where you were. That's not how this works. Mentioning Hebrews again, Hebrews chapter 5, I believe it's verses 12 through 14, we have the account of the Hebrews that the writer was writing to. They had been Christians for quite some time, but yet it was to the point where they just stopped learning. They stopped caring. They stopped doing everything. And the writer, who may believe to be Paul, says, "For the time which ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. You are desiring the sincere milk of the word, but yet you're as stage in your Christian life that you should be desiring the meat, the difficult to digest things." Because they were still spiritually children. They had been to the point that they should have been men and women of the God, of God, sons and daughters of God, spiritually strong, spiritually able to withstand this difficult things to study. But yet they just completely threw it out the window. They said, "Oh, we don't need to study." And then you see just a few chapters later how the apostle, or how the Hebrew writer says, you need to be following after God. You need to be giving up these things that you're holding so closely to. You need to give up Judaism. You need to give up wanting to go back to the old law. You need to give up your hatred for the Gentiles. You need to give up all these things because that's holding you back from heaven. So I'll ask you again, as a self-reflective thing, what is there in your Christian life that is holding you back? What's keeping you from completing your Christian race? Because, as I've said again, one of the easiest ways to keep going and keep pushing on is to keep your head in the Bible. Keep focusing on the Word of God, or else, how else are you ever going to grow? How else are you ever going to mature? How else are you ever going to look into the crowd and see those signs of someone saying, "Go hasten"? How many times are you going to hear the words of God in your mind from studying saying, "This is what I need to do"? How many times are you going to memorize a passage and know what you ought to be doing if you don't ever study? How are you ever going to fully comprehend these things if you don't ever try? Now, I have run a few foot races in my life, mostly with my brother, a few times in school, just to see who the fastest kid was, because in third grade, apparently, speed determines everything. But you have to try. You can run as hard as you can and win, even if you're the slowest kid, if everyone decides they just don't want to try that day. And then, surprise, surprise, you win. You say, "All right, I'm going first in line at lunch." You say, "All right, I'm going to take two of your grapes because I really want grapes today." You get to be the cool kid for a little while. And just imagine that in an eternal sense. If we finish our race, if we complete this Christian walk, this Christian race, we have the opportunity to be in heaven, to be with God. In fact, in Revelation chapters 11 or 21 and 22, it references how wonderful heaven is. It states that God will be with his people, and he will be their God, and he will not be afraid or ashamed to say that he is their God. We will be with God the Father and God the Son, and they will be the light, for there will be no more darkness. Because God is light. John chapter 1 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have fellowship with the Father. So let's continue pushing towards that light. I guess the light at the end of the tunnel, as some analogies would be. Let's push ourselves to be better. Let's push ourselves to run faster and finish our race. Because if not, then what's earth for? If we don't try to reach heaven, then what are we doing with our lives? Sure, we can live it up and have fun and do whatever we want. Or have fun as the world sees, I should say. But yet, at the end of our lives, what does that mean? We can have all the money in the world, but if we aren't spiritually rich, that does us nothing. We can be the most athletic, the strongest people in the world, but if we're not spiritually strong, then what's the point? We can be the most famous person in the world, but yet if we aren't known by God, what's the point? So I ask you today, if there's anything that we can do to help you in your spiritual walk, let us know. I'm here to help. Adam's here to help. The elders are here to help. Any one of the men in the congregation will help. If you wish to be baptized and start your spiritual walk at this time, please let us know. We'll talk to you. We'll do everything that we can for you. The baptistry has water in it. Not sure how warm it is. I usually say that as a disclaimer because I remember very vividly when I was baptized it being very cold. The heater was out that day. But anyway, that's beside the point. If you wish to become a Christian, if you wish to be baptized, if you wish to repent of your sins, confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and be buried fully immersed in the water, which is symbolic of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, please let us know. If you'd like to study about it and learn more about it, let us know. If you have done this and you've fallen away, we ask you to please come back home. Come back on the right way, the light way. And we also say that if you are a faithful Christian and you need prayers of encouragement, help, prayers of, or just to talk to somebody, we're here for that too. If you need anything, please come as we stand and as we sing.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the Valdosta Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at 256-381-0331.